Welcome to Soul Wellness with Kristen, where we get into the nitty-gritty of various holistic modalities and explore exactly how they help you heal. I'm your host, Kristen, and I invite you to join me on this enlightening expedition where we explore the connection between mind, body, and spirit. In each episode, we'll talk in depth with holistic providers, medical professionals, therapists, and healers. Our goal is to empower you with knowledge, inspire you with stories of resilience, and provide practical tools that you can integrate into your daily life. So, find a comfortable space and join us as we explore the multifaceted world of holistic wellness. Get ready to learn how to improve every aspect of your life and simply feel good. The adventure begins now. Thank you for joining us. Today I have Christiane Mady with me, who is with Mint Nutrition. Christiane is an integrative dietitian, and she has been with me before, so I am really happy to have you back because you are just so full of good information.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yes. So today we're going to talk about fasting, and I feel like a lot of people are interested in this subject, so I feel like this is going to get a lot of attention. And you basically can start us off. I know there's different types of fasting, so let's start there.
Yeah, and I think there's a conception around fasting where people think, oh my gosh, you're going to tell me to starve, or it's terrible. It's, you know, it's not for everyone. So definitely there's a small population that it's terrible for. So it's not good for like people with chronic kidney disease, someone with a previous eating disorder or disordered patterns. I wouldn't recommend, you know, doing long-term fasts. Pregnant, let's see, diabetes, like type 1, they could, but I'd still be mindful of it. But outside of that, it's for everyone. Certain ages can do it, obviously.
Are there different types?
Different types of fasting, yes.
Okay.
There are. You have intermittent fasting is more of a condensed version of fasting. And then you have longer fasts that you can do past 24 hours. And there's different ways to do that too. But we fast every day. We don't eat 24 hours a day. We're right. Not meant to. It's just not how our bodies are meant to fast. And I think when I do say that to people, they kind of ease up on the, oh my gosh, you're going to tell me to starve. I'm like, look, you fast every day. You stop eating when you stop eating and you break your fast. That's why they call it breakfast, break fast early right. In the morning or whenever you break your fast. That period of time is good. You actually want that. That's when your body will allow yourself to get into the circadian rhythm, that sleep cycle. It'll allow you to go through prokinetics. It's like these brooms that come in and sweep out the GI tract. It's like we had a party in here. We got to clean up the floor. Mm-hmm. So it does the same thing. If we're eating all the time, then it just keeps the food particles in our gut and it doesn't really have that clean out, and there's no rest, repair, relaxation, and restore. And our body needs that time to kind of rest. Back in the day, you know, back in the hunter-gatherer days, we had to forage for our food. So we actually went for longer periods of time. And a lot of people think, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose all my muscle mass. And you actually don't. You have metabolic pathways that switch. So when we're eating all the time, you're in a different metabolic pathway. When you're in a fasting state and you're doing it the right way, you're going to use your fat as storage. And you're going to burn through that in order to keep some energy levels up. So we can go long periods of time without food.
How long is a normal fast?
That's a loaded question because it's so patient specific.
So one size doesn't fit all.
No. Mm-mm. You know, sometimes people really surprise me. They go, I do water fasts all the time, or I do a 5-2, which is 5 days of eating normal in within a time period with that time restricted fasting. Like, you know, they eat breakfast at 9, stop eating at 6. That's considered time-restrictive eating or time-restrictive fasting and intermittent fasting. So it's really that smaller window, mm-hmm. and you can shorten that. When people do that, they become more metabolically flexible. So they're able to go into longer fasts. So if someone walks in and says, hey, Christiane, I want to do, you know, a 2-day water fast, I'm like, okay. Wow, they're eating 14 hours a day, 15 hours a day. It's going to be really tough to make them go through that switch. They're mm-hmm. not as flexible. They're not able to go through that for periods of time that great. I mean, someone may, but generally I'm like, okay, let's ease into it. And so we'll find a way and kind of manipulate it and try week by week to see what works best for them.
So I know that there's like a 1-day fast. Mm-hmm. There's a 3-day, 5-day. What's normal?
There's a 30-day.
There's a 30-day?
Oh, yeah. If you follow Dr. Jason Fung, he's a really good fasting doctor. With fasting, I always tell people, just keep trying. You know, anything counts. What I prefer people to get into is into that zone of past a day. So whether you use food, you can actually still eat and fast. We'll talk about that in a minute. When you get past that 24 hours into a fasting state, you go into something called autophagy, which means eat itself. Your body body goes through this identification process of taking out the trash, these zombie cells, senescent cells that are kind of hanging around, taking up energy, and your body will say, okay, you're bad, oh, you're good, you know, and then it'll dump out the bad ones and then create new stem cells. So the longer you do that into autophagy, the more beneficial it is for anti-aging, longevity, weight loss, cognitive health, everything. You know, it's truly one of those ways. Even my pro athletes will do it in between, and man, they PR. They're like, oh, that was the best I ever did. I'm like, oh, I'm sure. Your wow. body's running more efficiently. Yeah.
That's incredible. So it's very detoxifying.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yep. In fact, actually, I'm a big ProLon fan. So the University of Southern California's Longevity Institute created a product called ProLon. Makes it very easy for people. Mm-hmm. You can do a 1-day fast. You can do a 5-day fast. It's probably, you know, someone who's never really done it. I'm like, go pop on a 1-day, do that once a week, see how you do. The 5-day fast is really meant to do once a month consecutively for a few months. And when you do that, you'll actually... I've done that before, and it's pretty crazy, like, how mentally clear I was. Even the day I switched to autophagy, I was like, wow, I feel like I can run a marathon. I had so much energy, and my brain was so crisp and clear, and I felt light. And yeah, there's just a lot of benefits to that. So there's lots of ways you can kind of play around and see what works for you, what doesn't. The Longevity Institute actually did body scans, and they found people gained 2.5 years on their age. Wow. So for anti-aging, it's amazing because mm-hmm. you grow your telomeres. That's, I think we talked about that before. The other thing that works really well too is that you reduce your calorie intake. So of course you're still eating and you're still in that fasting state and you're taking out the trash. So they did body scans and found people lost about 20% of their organ mass.
That's where amazing. I need you to explain to me when ProLon, you're still eating. Mm-hmm. You're just eating what they've given you in this box. And mm-hmm. it's not bad at all. I just did one myself. Mm-hmm. It wasn't bad at all.
Right.
But how are you truly fasting when you're still ingesting?
Right. So they've been able to see certain macros, where you get your calories from, and the combinations of them, it can still keep you in a fasting state, mm-hmm. which is pretty profound. Because the 5-day, I think the first day you're at 1200 calories. So it's still a lot of decent amount of food. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm eating all this. And then it kind of trickles down and you're like, oh wow, you know, it's really fascinating to see, hard to replicate. Because I had another dietitian friend who said, oh, you know what, we should just make one. I'm like, oh gosh, by the time we looked at the products to see, okay, how do you match those macros? There's no meat in there. It's low protein, decent amount of carbs, sometimes high fat. And fat is what gets you into ketosis. Okay. So you really, it's the carbohydrates and the protein that can throw you out of a fast. So it's really specific is what they discovered, how these specific macros and how you take them. So it's just easy to go, okay, I'm just going to buy versus replicating it. I'm just going to buy a 1-day and pop it open. I do have people that are very particular about foods, and they're, you know, as you experience, they have a Michelin star chef that creates the soups, and the food's very tasty, in my opinion, mm-hmm. just being a chef. But some people are very particular, like, no. So then I'll just actually write them a program where they can have one meal in the morning. So when we stop eating the night before and they have their one meal in the morning, they have liquids throughout the day, and then they break their fast the next day, they'll be into autophagy. So there's many ways you can manipulate it and work on that. Mm-hmm.
Are there misconceptions around fasting that you find?
Yes, I think it's more the, like, you're telling me to starve. Mm-hmm. You're telling me I'm not taking away someone's binky. Like, you can, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to do any of it. I think there's some misconceptions. I think it's not. I have had some interesting conversations with other clinicians who are like, it's not good for certain patient populations, like menopausal. And I'm like, well, it can be helpful. We have to be mindful of when we do the fasting in terms of our cycle. It's probably not the best if you're doing it the week before your cycle. Mm-hmm. It's probably not the best time to do that. But any other times, the first 2 weeks, you know, can be really good. Postmenopausal can be really good too. It's just a matter of, look, I always tell people, your body's the best beacon. Right. If you start to see, like, wow, I feel really good, or you might actually feel bad the first time you do it. Don't be surprised. You're taking out a lot of trash. You know, you haven't taken trash out for 50 years, and it's like, you know, right. It's fascinating. So it's interesting how I'll have someone who doesn't feel good from ProLon, but they were fine on a liquid fast. So it's interesting because I just had someone last week who literally has done a liquid fast, mm-hmm. and it's water, black coffee, tea, broth, maybe 200 calories for the day. totally fine. You would think they would feel terrible, but right. did want a 1 day prolon and felt really sick, like just headache. Yeah. And I was like, interesting. So I'm like, I wonder if they weren't doing the liquid. I don't, who knows? You know, I'm always surprised because everyone right? surprises me all the time.
Well, and we're all different. I mean, I'm so sensitive to my sugar dropping mm-hmm. and I have to eat. Right. I eat 3 meals a day without fail. Mm-hmm. You definitely don't want me to skip a meal because sure. I'm not going to be fun to be around.
Right. Yeah.
But I did okay with it. I really did. I didn't feel the best. Mm-hmm. I had maybe a dull kind of headache and just not a ton of energy, but it wasn't like I couldn't do it.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. How did you feel after?
I felt fine. I felt great the next day when I could eat.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And what was funny is I woke up the next morning and was not starving. No. I went to bed hungry the night before. Yeah. I was at the end of it. You know, I knew I could have breakfast in the morning.
Yeah.
That was the worst part, was going to bed. And I was like, oh man, I'm really hungry right now. And
right.
I went to bed, woke up the next morning, and I thought, I could actually keep this going.
Yes.
I didn't because I wanted to go to the gym, but I could have.
Yes. And that's the other thing. You cannot work out when you're doing that.
Yeah.
And I've had a few people not listen to me and they were on the 5 day and it took them weeks to recover. I was like, you can't do that. Your body's literally going through this whole, all the energy sources are mm-hmm. like, let's go in and clean everything out, every nook and cranny of your body. And if you're putting external stressors in, your body's like, whoa, wait a minute. We're supposed to be cleaning out. Now I got to go build muscle. What? Like, I don't have any resources for that. So it can be not good.
How often do you recommend? I know I've talked to you before and you've said, oh, once a week is great or once a month is great.
I kind of like, I'm a once a week girl. I usually do it on a Wednesday. Yeah. Even if I don't do a full, because I've done the 5 day, I'm probably like a good dozen times, you know, I've done the 5 day many, many times.
But that's not your norm. Like you're not going to do that once a month. No, that's not.
I would do that once a month, you know, and if you could do it once a month.
You would do a 5 day once a month?
Uh-huh. I would do one. I did that. Yep. 5 day once a month. And then usually that's really good to help you achieve your weight goals if you've got to do weight loss or if you're just trying to detox or feel better, reduce inflammation. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the most I felt. But it's interesting, even when I do a 1 day, it's like, oh, my body's like, oh, I'm back on it again. And sometimes I'll just, you know, I'll skip breakfast or something like that and have soups and crackers. The soups and crackers are really good. I'll have part of prolon and then maybe a light dinner. So then I just kind of ease my way in and then back on it the next day. But I do hear often people say, wow, I realize how much overeating I'm doing. I don't need that much.
Right.
You really don't.
And you realize that you're taxing your system when you mm-hmm. do that.
Yes. Go live in Europe. We came back so skinny. After we lived in Europe, people were like, wow, you guys are so thin. I'm like, we walked everywhere. And, you know, we lived in England and the portions are a fraction of what is the norm. Mm-hmm. You know, and even if you follow the blue zones and longevity, I forgot what the Okinawans call it. There's like a term, Japanese term for eating at 80%. You eat when you're just barely full, but we overindulge and we're so busy and shoving everything down and convenience. And it's like, oh, what did I have for breakfast? I don't know. Cause I was in a meeting and trying to type up a paper and, or whatever, you know, I don't know. Did you find yourself like sitting with your soup and like, okay, I need to enjoy this.
Yes. And I found myself trying to spread it out as long as possible, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. like really, you know, because they give you an afternoon snack too, with some olives. And I was like, okay, I'm going to spread this out, make it
my 5 olives,
right? Spread it out. So nobody loses an arm.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And you didn't find your sugars to dip?
No, like I said, I just had kind of a dull headache maybe through the day. Nothing, I didn't have to take anything for the headache or anything like that. Just didn't feel 100%.
Right.
It was a little bit draggy, but I was just proud of myself that I could do it because if you know me, you know I'm
a foodie.
Any of my friends hearing this are going to be like, oh God, yeah, you got to keep snacks around her.
Right. She needs to eat.
Girl's got to eat.
I know. It's not funny.
Yeah. So it was good. I was happy I could do it.
That's amazing. Yeah. So there's a lot of benefits. The other part, I mean, it's great for weight loss and inflammation. It's the part of growing your telomeres. This is the anti-aging component. Those little caps at the end of your DNA that are like shoestring caps. And so as you, I think we talked about that on the mold talk too, as you are exposed to environmental toxins or have an unhealthy diet, drink too much, smoke, whatever, work out too much stress, you can actually reduce your telomeres and you can test your DNA age. In fact, I have someone who's testing, he's an athlete, he's testing his DNA age. I can't wait because he has a really healthy lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can find out how old you are for your DNA and you can grow them back. And fasting is probably one of the best ways to do it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Eating clean.
Is that a quick process to grow them back?
No, not necessarily, because it's like a slow. Mm-hmm. This is why you'll see extreme sport people. They look probably a little bit older than they normally are.
Definitely.
Or obviously drug addicts look like they're 80 and you're like, oh my gosh, that's a 20-year-old girl. You know, it's really that DNA protection that you want. So you can grow it back. And my old boss back in the day, I didn't know he tested his and I tested mine. And of course, it was like, I was all excited because here I am, you know, a little smushy. I was like, okay, I guess I can lose like probably 10 pounds, you know, but I've been eating clean, trying to manage my stress, doing all the things. And I tested my telomeres and my DNA age was that of a 10-year-old.
Wow.
And I was like, this is so crazy. And I was just, I had just turned 40 at the time. And then, of course, I had heard that he had veins popping out of his arm. He looked like an 18-year-old football player. He worked out all the time, high cholesterol, you know, stress. And his was like in his 60s or 70s or something crazy. And I was like, okay. I was like, well, you know, just on the outside, you can't judge it. Like, it's really a cellular thing in terms of health.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, you know, something to be said for all the lifestyle changes that you make. So that's where I think a lot of people, fasting is the quickest way to get to some of your goals and to do some of those things for a little bit of uncomfort. Like being uncomfortable about not having like your sourdough bread in the morning,
right.
And you know, your Starbucks latte or whatever. Mm-hmm. You have to really kind of stick to it. But on the other side, I think you grow a lot, learn a lot, feel better. So I think there's a lot of tools there.
There's something about it starving disease in your body as well too,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Super protective for cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. In fact, certain cancer tumors and stuff like that's a lot better. That's why they put like for brain tumors, they put people on ketogenic diets because it starves it from its fuel source.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's super cancer protective. Anti-aging in terms of skin, you think of all that, you know, skin health that we spend so much money on.
Right.
All of the things that definitely super beneficial on that. But of course, we want to lose weight or, you know, lean up or just do a metabolic reset. Sometimes I tell people they're just kind of stuck in that cycle of they can't lose weight. I'm always going to look at the gut first, make sure that that's not an issue or no infections. But it's really profound how it can be used as a really good metabolic reset. It's like, okay, well, let's just clean everything out.
Clean everything mm-hmm. out and sharpen you up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yep. So Prolon's a great way to do it. You can do it, you know, many, many ways. If someone wants to start tomorrow and they never really did, I would just say shorten that window of eating. So if you have breakfast at 7 a.m, see if you can push it up. The data really says big breakfast, big lunch, small snack, small meal in the early evening, like 4 or 5.
Yep.
Not everyone can live like that because we got family and, you know, mm-hmm. sports and, you know, you want to eat with your family.
Right.
If I did that, I would be great. But I usually flip it the other way. So then I try to push my morning out, work out fast, you know, fasting. Not everyone can do that either.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, that seems to work too, but the data generally says for like weight loss and everything else is to keep it pretty heavy in the morning. You could burn through everything. If people want to lose weight, sometimes we'll have a lot of my clients drop their starches at night. So I'm like, just have, you know, a piece of fish with some broccoli or like a salad with a lot of lean protein on there. And then you'll go into your fasting state a lot faster.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's a great tip.
Yep. Or have a light soup or something light at night, nothing heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And then actually you'll sleep better. So it's interesting how even the Oura Ring, when I'm fasting or I watch people's data, maybe initially because they're going through autophagy, mm-hmm. not that good. But man, some of my best sleep is when I'm fasting.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
I ideally like to have dinner around 5 o'clock so mm-hmm. that I'm done really early.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it does make me sleep better.
Right. Yeah. You get that good sleep cycle.
Yeah.
Well, if you're eating, your body's busy digesting everything, then you're not going to get that good deep sleep.
For sure.
Restorative.
How should you prepare for a fast? Is there any preparation if you know you're going to do it?
Oh, that's a really good question. You know, a lot of people will eat everything but the kitchen sink. And I'm like, don't do that.
I really thought about it. I'm not kidding you.
I'm like, food is not scarce. I don't understand. I have to remind myself too, by the way. Like, I am definitely not.
Yeah, I thought about it.
No, but so many people, even before they come to see me, they're like, oh, I ate so bad this weekend because I knew I was coming to see you on Monday. I'm like, what? Do you think I'm going to tell you can't eat?
Right.
Like, so you can eat. I think the more we make it scarce, the more people want it. Food is readily available. I tell people that all the time. Don't make it scarce. Like, there's donuts on every corner. You can have Nona's Italian cookies delivered to your doorstep via Amazon, or she'll deliver them herself. Like, FedEx will show up. Like, food is not scarce.
Right.
We do not have scarcity in food. But if we put that in our minds, then now that's all you can think about.
Okay, so don't eat the kitchen sink before you fast.
No.
Is there anything else that you should do? Probably
plan
hydrate.
Hydrate, yes. You don't want to overhydrate, but because you're going to be drinking all day anyway.
Yeah.
Raw teas, caffeine. Watch your caffeine because it's a diuretic. You can have one cup of caffeinated beverage in the morning, plain black. Don't do a water fast by yourself. Highly don't recommend doing that.
Okay.
Yeah. Just to have someone take a look at, make sure you're not on medications that are going to throw you off, you know, things like that, just to be sure. But yeah, I think anyone can do it. I would just shorten that window, especially on the back end. So that's usually another place I'll start. Open that gap at dinner. So if dinner's like 6 o'clock at night, or normally 7 o'clock at night, bring it back to 6, just because I want to have that good 3+ hours before you go to bed. No food.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that'll help sleep.
And then maybe push breakfast out the next morning if you can.
Stay
there.
Yep. And then you can do, you know, it really depends, you know. So I'd start with 12 and 12, you know, and then kind of condense it a little bit, an hour every day, every week, you know, try it and just shorten it. And then the great thing about intermittent fasting, you can just change it every day. So you can just spending a moment to say, hey, we're going out to dinner tonight. We're going to be eating a little bit late. You know what? I'll kind of hold off on eating, you know, breakfast and push it a little bit later. Yep, or have something small. Because once you break your fast, you don't want to be too much time in between meals. Don't be a camel. I have family members that do that, and they know I get so mad at them. My husband does it. Drives me crazy.
What does that do to you?
It really messes your blood sugar. Talk about low blood sugar. No bueno. Because then it triggers a hormone in your stomach called ghrelin. It looks like gremlin. I call it the gremlin. Like, on paper, it looks like gremlin. And if you don't eat pretty regularly, not that I don't really like people eating every 2 hours. If you're going to have breakfast, have something substantive. Or lunch, you know, if you're going to have a meal, have something substantive. Mm-hmm. Unless if you're like, oh, it's too close, I just want a snack. That's fine. If you're waiting 5, 6, 7 hours in between meals and you're starving, it's going to be Hoover vacuum time. You're going to eat everything but the kitchen sink. But it's really about blood sugar regulation in terms of keeping your body needs balance always. It's always trying to find homeostasis.
Right.
So if you're now on this roller coaster ride of up and down on blood sugar, I promise you, you're not going to be eating salmon, broccoli, and salad. You're going to be like, where is that cheesy steak bomb? Like, in French fries.
Yeah.
Because your brain's like, give me more. We need to balance the blood sugars. We're going to balance your serotonin, dopamine. You just, like, all these things start to happen in the body, and then you can't kind of recover from that. Drinking on an empty stomach, I would highly not recommend. Things like that, because it's all about regulating blood sugars.
Okay. This is great information.
Slow and steady. Reach out for help. They can come and visit me.
Okay.
Yep.
Tell us all again how to find you.
So you can find me at themittnutrition.com. I do free consultation calls, so you can book right there on the website. Ask me lots of questions. I can send you resources for Prolon. I have a link that has a discount code in there for people if they want it. Anyone can come to me, pretty much. We take health insurance, so we are in network with most of the carriers, which is
Excellent.
Really great. And then sometimes after a health assessment, people just come to us and pick our brain in terms of how to help them out.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks again for having me.
For being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on another enriching episode of Soul Wellness with Kristen. We hope the insights shared today have resonated with you, inspiring a deeper connection to your own journey towards holistic well-being. If you enjoyed today's episode, we invite you to subscribe, share, and reach out. Your feedback fuels our mission to bring you meaningful content that educates, empowers, and uplifts. Remember, you are a vital part of this community, and together, we're creating a ripple effect of positive change.